Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the weekly cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to get where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guests. I'm so sorry, I've done this a million times and I just kind of tripped over my words there. Anyway, it is episode 70 of the weekly cooldown. It is November 8th. Thanks for joining us on this episode, and as always, before we jump into the news, we'll begin by discussing, or, wow, before we jump into the news, we'll be discussing or ripping to shreds. I can't, I've been writing my scripts lately, just so that I can follow something, and it's not working out very well. Anyway, before we get into the news, let us begin with headline recaps. Red Dead Redemption 2 is now out on PC after players have waited so long for its release. Players will have to go through either the Rockstar Games Launcher or the Epic Games Store in order to purchase and play the game. Steam players are unfortunately out of luck until December, though the actual date is unclear. There was an issue, however, with the release on PC, luckily, due to Rockstar's launcher, rather unluckily. Fortunately, Rockstar seems to have fixed the issue with recent updates to the launcher over the past couple days. Terry Bogard is now out in Smash Bros. Ultimate as the latest DLC fighter. During the showcase on Wednesday, featuring Smash creator Masahiro Sakurai, we got a look at Terry Bogard's playstyle. His moves are similar to his traditional fighting game origins, and players will actually fight using some pretty similar commands in the original games. So if you've been playing Terry Bogard for like years and years and years, congratulations, you now have a Smash character. Additionally, a King of Fighters stage will be added to the game, and which will include 20 cameos from other SNK fighters, specifically the King of Fighters, rather, and 50 tracks of music that pulls from SNK's entire video game catalog. Players can grab Terry for $6, or they can grab the Fighter's Pass for $25. A member of the FaZe Clan, Javis Khatri, has been banned from Fortnite for using an aimbot. The popular Fortnite pro has received a lifetime ban from the game for using the bot in both solo and playground modes. Khatri states that he has never used an aimbot in any competitive game modes in a YouTube video where he apologizes to his fans, despite saying in the video that he, quote, should have paid more attention to the community rules and the TOS of Fortnite. Khatri is also seen and heard in another video using the aimbot on what he says is a backup PC, saying in that video, quote, I had to go on a new PC. I don't want to get my main PC banned. Sounds weird that I have a spare PC, but it's just a spare PC that's been in the house. China is introducing new restrictions on video games for minors. Officials are cracking down on Chinese youth, stating that online gaming in particular is detrimental to the health and learning of minors. Guidelines recently released this Tuesday outline curfews and time restrictions for gamers under the age of 18. In particular, online video games are banned between the hours of 10 p.m. and 8 a.m., and minors are restricted to 90 minutes of gameplay every day. Additionally, microtransactions are also capped at monthly purchases of between $28 to $57 U.S., depending on the age of the minor. The bans also target and prohibit games that show explicit sexuality, gore, violence, or gambling. Officials have also outlined in these guidelines a requirement for all gamers to register accounts for online games using their name and phone number, which allow government entities to track and regulate playtime. We'll discuss this a little later as well. Again, this is the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jace. I can read, I promise. I don't know why I trip over my own words that I write prior to the show, but I do. Anyway, that's enough of seeing the background of the show. You don't need to know any of that. Welcome to the show, of course, episode 70. There's quite a lot, not quite a lot, but there's a good bit of news this week. And I have a friend here who's going to help me rehash it all for you today. So joining me is the host of the, ooh, I hope I get this right, the Itty Bitty Podcast. His name is Perry. Say hello, please.
Hey, what's going on?
How's it going?
Good. I think that you're just so excited from the good podcast we did yesterday that
Oh
you're
my
nervous
God.
having me on today.
I think that might be what it is. Sometimes I'm like, oh God, I hope I'm reading all this correctly. I hope people can understand me. I also trip up over like simple words that I shouldn't trip over, like particularly. I didn't write that in here, but I don't do well with certain words, so when I read them, like, oh no, I'm gonna trip over this one. I know it, and then it happens.
Oh man, you should listen to my show. I mess up words constantly. That's like my thing.
It's like human nature to just constantly fuck up words.
It
Everyone
happens,
has it. Yeah. So, speaking of your podcast, please tell us about it.
So the Itty Bitty Podcast is a weekly podcast. It covers anything from pop culture to video games to comic books, cannabis. We do kind of everything. If it's something that interests me, or it's something that I want to learn about, I'm gonna kind of try to do an episode about it. So just recently, we did a two-part episode that I kind of went out on a limb to do. We did a Dungeons and Dragons game. It was my very first time doing it. I had no prior experience with it,
Ooh.
so it was something we had kind of set up a month in advance and kind of teased it, and then we did that for the final for Halloween, and so it was released as a two-part episode. I don't know if I'm going to do that again anytime soon, but yeah, it's the Itty Bitty Podcast. It's anything but, so we kind of do everything. And then I also have another podcast, Choice Nugs Only, which we do weekly, and that's with a co-host that I do, and we just basically smoke and kind of do a rundown of the week.
Ooh, that
So
sounds like a lot of fun.
I was really ambitious and launched with two podcasts. I don't know what I was thinking.
To be quite honest, if you don't launch two podcasts at the same time, are you truly a podcaster? What are you like?
What are you really doing, right?
What are you doing? One podcast? Come on.
Just the one. No, never that.
That's awesome. That's
Yeah.
really cool though. I like that. What brought about the Itty Bitty Podcast?
The name.
Well, that, and also, like, why did you decide to do it?
It was just kind of so I've been in a careers where you're basically having conversations for money that benefits other people. So I was a bartender for years. You know, main part of bartending is you're having conversations. It's not necessarily always a conversation you want to have or want to be stuck in. But you get paid to have conversations. I'm in sales now, same thing. You're having conversations. You know, your conversations are really limited, and I kind of have the same conversations over and over again, so it kind of gets old. And so I thought, you know, why not try to have conversations about things I like and do this as a hobby? And my job kind of allows me to work a few days a week and still do the focus on the podcast as well. So I'm kind of fortunate in that it was just kind of the timing all kind of lined up, and so that's what got me started with it.
Nice. So it's just a love of speaking. Well, maybe not a love, but a some kind of joy is derived from just speaking to people and
Basically, I'll just talk
speaking.
too damn much.
Yeah. I mean, that's a like a harsh way to put it, but it's a good way to put it, I suppose. Great. So as we do on this podcast every week, I ask my guest, what have you been playing this week?
So I recently finished up Horizon Zero Dawn. I was late to the party on that one. I think I saw it on the PlayStation Store for some special. It was like $8, so I had to jump on it and check it out. And I mean, robot dinosaurs, what more can you
Yeah.
want? So I thought it was an amazing game. The only thing I didn't necessarily see, there's one of those words, didn't
There you
necessarily
go.
like, was just the amount of cutscenes. I get kind of lost when you have that many cutscenes, and I end up skipping through 90% of them. So that's the only thing I didn't like.
That's blasphemy
So I finished
in my
that.
book.
Really?
Blasphemy. Do not skip cutscenes. They're
When
important.
it's that many, it's just there's got
The
to be
writers work really hard on
I know they do.
that.
I know, and I really I'm gonna catch a lot of shit for saying that. But I if it's making this pushing the story along and it's working with the story, but there was just way too. It was like every person you met had their own little cutscene, and you had to, you know. So that was the only part that that kind of lost me a little bit.
I'll say
But
fair
other than
enough
that, it
on
was a great
that.
game.
Yeah,
And
Horizon
then.
Zero Dawn is one of those things I still haven't really picked up, and I'm kind of upset that I haven't picked it up yet, but I always hear really good things.
Yeah, I had a really good time playing it. I even with the cutscenes, I'll give it a solid grade. And then I also tried out PS Now. So that was kind of I played a couple different games on that, but I did want to check it out and see how it was. And unfortunately, I live in an area where you can't really get great internet. I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday on my show. And so you're very limited in what you can have for internet. So streaming PS Now just doesn't work for me out here. So, and a lot of the games are stream only. So it was hard to kind of play that. But and then the other thing that I have on tap is I got Death Stranding. I know I don't want to make you jealous again, but I've got Death Stranding coming up in a couple days, and I've just kind of been biding my time for that.
Well, lucky you. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I'm
As
really
much as I
torn
really,
about
really
that.
want it, as much as I really, really want it, I am happy that it's finally coming out. I'm happy that people are gonna get to play this super cryptic but really, really potentially awesome game.
And you'll
So
get it
kudos
eventually. You just gotta
to.
wait a little bit. You'll get it on PC.
I'm thinking maybe I'll put like $50 aside, every paycheck until Black Friday and get it on like a sale.
Oh, there you go.
Like with a PS4. I don't know. I
Black
also think
Friday
it's
always
too
does the
late to.
deals, and they got the PS5 coming soon, so they'll probably do something
Yeah,
special.
I always feel like I buy a console way too late because the PS5 is like coming probably in the summer holiday next year, so why bother doing it now when I
Right.
should like save up for a PS5? But I don't know. We'll see how I feel come like next week.
I know. Anytime you see it coming, you're like, oh, I need that. But I don't know. I think I still got a good run of PS4 in me. I feel like the PS4
Yeah.
just finally started getting good. When I first got it, I got it
It's.
pretty close to launch, and it was kind of a wait till you could get some quality
Yeah.
games.
I think consoles are kind of finally figuring themselves out, kind of finally making the push to figure out how they want to develop and market their games and what they want to be exclusive, what they don't want to be exclusive, what they want to have crossplay with, what they don't want to have crossplay with. And to that end, it is kind of too late. We have the Xbox Scarlett and the PS5. Nintendo obviously will do nothing for another like 2 or 3 years, but you have Xbox and PlayStation kind of vying for your attention, and then like in the middle is PC, who kind of like picks up a little bit of everything here and there, but still might miss some of those things. So it's always a hard little battle between consoles and PCs and which games you should get and which ones you're not gonna because you don't have that console. And if you care about Gears of War over caring about like The Last of Us or something like that. So it's always an interesting little battle.
And people are very like tribal when it comes to that stuff as far as
Yeah, that too.
consoles go. Some people don't care, but some people are hardcore about, if they're Xbox, they're Xbox. If they're PS4, they're PS4. So it's kind of funny to watch the console wars go down.
The console wars, rated PG-13.
Sell it to Disney.
So, let's see. I was gonna like quiz you on some stuff, but I don't want to do that on your first appearance.
I mean, you can, and I don't mind.
My
The
I've been
least I
told
can
that
do is.
my quiz shows are kind of difficult. I used to have a game called Painful Quotes, which is I read off a quote, you decide if it's a Max Payne quote or from some other game. Bonus points if you can guess which Max Payne it's from or which game it's from. But that seems like a lot of work. So,
Sounds like fun.
it is. I think it's a lot of fun. But everyone's like, I've never played Max Payne. I'm like, first of all, there's your first problem.
Oh, I'm a big Max Payne guy.
It's such a great game.
It was. I played. What was the most recent one?
Max Payne 3?
Max Payne 3, yes. I played through the. I remember playing through the first one when it first came out, played through the second, and I got into the third one late. And I remember even being impressed that they'd still kind of kept all the same mechanics with the Max Payne 3. And
They really did.
it was hard too. I remember getting stuck at the stadium on some steps with you have to sh have like a shootout on in some bleachers. I remember that.
Yeah, it's for what it's worth, I mean, Max Payne 3 came out fairly quickly, I think, and it was still kind of it still reminisced about the way it was with Max Payne 2 and 1, but they also did the really cool like transitionals where like you're watching a cutscene, but while you're watching that cutscene, the next part of the stage is still loading in the background. So it was like really, really seamless transitions, coupled with these really awesome like cinematic but comic book like cutscenes at the same time. And it was just a good game
Yeah, I'm a
despite
big
being
fan of
kind
the
of
franchise.
fast.
What'd you think of the
Yeah.
movie with Mark
Did
Wahlberg?
not like the movie.
I didn't either. It was ridiculous.
I was very upset. I was
Did you
like, how dare
play? No, go ahead.
I was gonna say video game movies are never
No.
good.
Did you play, what was it, The Matrix? I think it was Matrix Revolutions or something like that, the one with Jada Pinkett Smith, where it had different cut scenes that they
Oh.
shot specifically for it, and they kind of utilized that Max Payne type slowdown, so you could do, fighting with the slowdown, you could, run up the walls
Bullet
and
time,
shoot at people,
yes.
bullet time. Yeah, did you play that?
I did not.
It was such a good game. You gotta track that down somewhere and find it. It was
Yeah,
good.
I get a
If you're a Max Payne fan, you'll love
PS2
it.
lock. Yeah. Hey, I say if you're a Max Payne fan, you're gonna love Control. So go play that. Shout out to Remedy. Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out.
So I think that's fine. There's no need for a quiz show. You've passed my test. You've played Max Payne. That's enough for me. So
Appreciate it.
we're gonna jump into the stories for this week, and we're actually gonna start. We're gonna start. Listen, I say this all the time on this podcast. Media is political, and there's always a little bit of dichotomy between video games and politics, especially as of late. So we're gonna start with some pretty heavy politics, and I am not sorry about it. So, starting with Death Stranding. So Kojima states that Death Stranding was actually inspired fairly heavily by President Donald Trump and Brexit. In an interview on the BBC One radio news beat, Kojima spoke openly about the current political climate, saying, quote, Trump is building a wall and the UK is leaving the EU. In the game, we use bridges to connect things, but destroying those bridges can instantly turn them into walls. So bridges and walls are almost synonymous. That's one of the things I'd like players to think about in the game. So, of course, in his very Kojima-like way, he's kind of slightly cryptic, but also kind of poetic in realizing the connections you can make between video games and politics. I also think, and this is kind of a side tangent, there's been some posts on like Reddit and other forums where guys have been saying, and they're always guys. Guys have been saying, oh, I hope this game isn't super political like all the other games have been. And everyone's like, have you ever played Metal Gear Solid? Like, ever? Do you know anything that goes on in those
Do you even
games?
know about the Lale
Yeah, like, are you for real? Do you know who Kojima is? So what do we think? Is Is this too political? Is Kojima doing something wrong or right or?
I think that people, especially in the way things are right now, are a lot of times people build things up into their head before something actually happens or actually comes out. So just because he's talking about this game being, we're gonna build bridges rather than walls, and from what I've read about this game, I'm really excited for it because it's a single player game that still incorporates multiplayer, facets of of other games. So you have to like almost like Dark Souls, you can leave things for other players. I think I was never really big into Dark Souls, but I believe in that game you could leave notes and stuff for other people. So you kind of see like the echoes of other players, and it's more geared towards connecting rather than destroying. And I mean, how political can it really be with characters like Die Hard Man and like Dead Man? And I'm sure there's going to be some stuff there, but if like that's enough to ruin your day, then I feel like you've got other issues going on.
Someone at the end of the article I got the story from GameSpot, the editor actually, Kelly Plague, I believe their name is, of a review that they wrote for Death Stranding. In it, they say Death Stranding is a hard game to absorb. There's a lot of intertwining threads to its plots. There's a lot of silly names, corny moments, and heavily exposed, but otherwise very simple messages throughout the game. And these things kind of come through in even the game's kind of mundane moments. So you're kind of going through the game just to kind of go through the game from what I hear. And if there, like you said, if there is any kind of political message, it's kind of subtle and it doesn't like punch you in the gut. It kind of gently brushes your shoulder. It's not trying to be a force for political movement, but it is trying to kind of give a positive, maybe slightly political message.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay to play a game that has themes that you might disagree with. We talked about Resident Evil 7 yesterday, I think it was, with that cannibal family or whatever, that crazy family that you have to go up against. You think I share ideals with that family? Like, no. But it's a video game, so I'm gonna play it. It's gonna be fun. And if there's something that I disagree with, I'm just gonna probably play it and move on.
Absolutely.
So.
This actually shines through a lot in the game I play almost religiously, Final Fantasy 14. In the game, and in most Final Fantasy games, there's this kind of empire that wants to rule the world and stuff like that. And some of the themes are very kind of authoritarian. Some of them can border on kind of a supremacy take. And, it's one thing to recognize that those themes are in there. But it's another thing to outright hate the game because of those themes. You can also just critique the game, but still enjoy the gameplay or still enjoy the game itself. And I think a lot of people don't recognize that, like, you don't have to boycott a game because of its message. You can heavily critique it, but then also say, you know what, I may not agree with the message wholeheartedly, but it still is a decent game. I'm gonna continue to play it, and shout out to all my haters.
Yeah, it's just like I said, if you're gonna find something to complain about, you're gonna find something to complain about, whether it's a video game or something else. It's just games are there for entertainment. I understand that you don't want to have to think about what's going on in the world when you're playing games, but sometimes getting a little bit of a nudge in the right direction from a video game or something, it might not work for you, but it might work for somebody else, and it could reach somebody where the message failed to reach you.
Exactly. Very true. Or it could open your eyes to something you weren't aware of or that you kind of plugged your ears to.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, as I always say, and as I've said once already, and on many other episodes of this podcast, your games is political, man. They just are. They all are. There's some kind of politics in your video games,
I know, I'm
and
trying to think of like some
whether
good
it's in the
examples.
making of them, everything's political.
I know, I'm trying to think of some like
Everything.
in your face ones that were recent. What was the one, Far Cry in Montana, where you're like basically going up against a
Oh
bunch
gosh.
of white supremacists in Montana?
Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a
It's
great
fun. I mean,
example.
it's
I
a
mean, that's
ridiculous
very in your
concept.
face.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous concept that if you kind of peek behind the curtain a little bit, could be like, uh-oh, it's actually true. Like,
Right.
it's one of those things where like you don't think about that kind of thing happening anywhere in the world, let alone the United States. But if you kind of go a little bit in a certain direction, you can kind of be like, maybe it will happen.
Yeah. There's a lot
You
of,
don't
you
wish it to
know,
happen.
it's almost like our art imitates life, you know?
Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
weird how that
Absolutely,
happens.
absolutely. Strange how that happens. So what we're saying is stop making video games. No, I'm kidding.
Make them more political.
Make them more political
Yeah.
so that we can truly take down the man. Speaking of taking down the man, the story I spoke about at the in the headlines at the top of the show, China. At the start of the show, I delivered the headline about China's restrictions on video games for minors. So, this is a heavy one. So, I mean, once again, China's officials are cracking down on youth online gaming under the age of 18. You get to play 90 minutes a day, unless it's a holiday, in which case you are allowed a maximum of 3 hours. You can game between the hours, or excuse me, it's banned between the hours of 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. So, I mean, from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m., you can play video games, which I mean, I guess that's fair. Microtransactions, which I actually kind of am against, are capped at $28 monthly or $57 monthly. There's directives for adult gamers. Games are prohibited if they have any really sexual explicit images, goriness, violence, gambling, etc. So I don't know what they're playing, to be quite honest. Chinese officials require that everyone register for online gaming accounts using their real name and phone number, which help the entities to regulate playing time. So this is truly, truly, truly overreaching. And I'm usually kind of for some kind of government regulation in most things. But this, even for minors, I mean, this seems like a really, really strict kind of hand coming down saying no more of this. It's very, and it, I don't know how it's going to affect the market for certain video game companies. I mean, if
So,
we take the glaring example of like Blizzard, who's been kind of involved with China over the past couple weeks, Overwatch isn't necessarily the most violent looking video game out there, but I mean, it's still kind of cartoony violence. So is that game now banned? I don't understand.
my thinking when I actually did read that today before I had looked into doing the podcast with you, and my thinking was, A, fuck that, because you're gonna have a bunch of teenagers
Yeah.
hopped up on Mountain Dew Code Red getting ready to like jump into their addiction. So you're saying these kids have an addiction problem and you're gonna take away their basically their dope. They're gonna tear that country apart. China's fucked. I'm just kidding. I'm 100% kidding. no, I think, I mean, I think it's, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think it's an overreach. There's other ways, I think. I mean, I guess it's up, it should be up to the parents to kind of regulate how much their kids are playing video games, but it just kind of, I feel like you shouldn't be able to tell people what to do, but again, it's China. They don't have the same freedoms that we do here, so
Yeah.
I don't, how are they going to regulate that? They're just going to bust down your door and shut off your video game system at a certain time, or what?
I'm truly not sure how that works,
Or
so
they
I
just shut the
imagine what.
power down in your house or something?
Well, I imagine that it kind of may lock you out of the console somehow. I mean, if they can monitor
I guess you
how
could.
long you're playing the video game, they can probably just be like, "Okay, that's enough of that. Bye, go to bed."
I would just get like a Super Nintendo, hook that bad boy up, and just go to town.
Yeah, I
Like, you can't
can
tap
you
that.
yeah, I mean, can you regulate that? And it seems to be pretty specific to online games. So I guess if you're playing single player, not hooked up to the internet, you might be safe from this. But I don't know, it seems very heavy-handed and almost reactionary to the nth degree, you know. I don't know, I guess, the specifics of if Chinese education is down or if it's affecting the economy in some way, having minors play video games excessively, to which I guess I kind of would understand. I wouldn't like it, but I would understand. But the heavy kind of overreach that this is, it's just dripping with it, you know. It doesn't it feels like they are kind of responding in turn to it sounds like someone went to a PTA meeting and bitched to like Xi Jinping and was like, "My son's playing too much Overwatch." And so that's the way it feels to me. It feels like a parent said something to Xi Jinping, President Xi Jinping, and was just, he was like, "Yeah, no, you're right. I'm doing it right now."
It's, I don't, I mean, so have they had any issues with like medical emergencies or anything with people like that one in Thailand? The kid, I think we talked about it yesterday, where the kid died from playing
That
too many video games. Have they had
could
any?
also be part of it.
Because.
This NPR article here says that President Xi Jinping has been focusing on kind of an anti-video game effort for a while. In 2018, he called for officials to take action on the large amount of nearsighted children. So that's an interesting thing to care about, I guess. And then, of course, there was heavy schoolwork as well, and mobile phones, and he blamed video game addiction for a vast number of myopic children, which, again, this all feels like you're taking on kind of personality traits or like genetic quote unquote defects that are not necessarily under your control. I mean, sure, video games can do some freaky things to your eyes, but I don't think that it's just video games causing nearsighted children or, you know, mobile phones or mobile games or anything like that. So it's, I don't know, it just feels wrong.
So what if it's like an attempt to, because China's always, they're trying to be the number one superpower right now, and they're trying to push
Yeah.
for like green energy and all that stuff and creating new jobs. And so what if they're like, video games in their eyes are a waste of time. Let's get these kids off video games, get them rested up, ready to work, and let's get them into the workforce. And so, I mean, that could be that as well.
I suppose I wouldn't put it past them. However,
I just think I smoke too much weed, that might be it.
I would also say, though, that there's a lot of there's a huge industry in tech and media and subsequently in video games in China. So the NPR article here says that China will reach about $33 billion in 2019 just in video game or in digital game revenue. So, I mean, they control, or at least have a decent amount of power over video games and what video games are marketed in their country and who can market their video games in their country. And we've seen this again, as I said, with Blizzard suspending Blitzchung over some Hong Kong pro-Hong Kong, pro-democracy sentiments he had a couple weeks ago. We see it in other things like the NBA. They had some pro-Hong Kong, pro-democracy espousals, if you will. And China responded, and the NBA responded, and it's been this ongoing thing for years and years and years, where China has control over American markets and how we distribute things globally, even. I mean, Avengers movies have been changed, video games have been changed to show certain
Didn't they
things
do
that
a South
China
Park
wants to
episode
see.
about that recently?
They did do a South Park episode about that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's
It's
kind of
just
messed up.
and it's like I said, I think it's just a big shadowy communist hand over kids playing video games. I mean, how it seems a little reckless too. I mean, did it of course they I don't know that they asked or polled or anything like that, parents who were like, my child plays too much Overwatch. I'm pretty sure it was just like, oh, nearsighted kids, video games. Oh, freaking myopic children, video games. Too much schoolwork, that's also video games. You know, it's
Do you ever
who,
see
what
it
are you,
happening in the US where they try to put a curfew on video games?
no.
No.
The only time politicians care about video games is when we need something to blame for a mass shooting.
That's true, yeah.
That is the only time anyone cares. He was a video game player. Yeah, he played frickin' Super Mario. Like,
Exactly.
okay, fine. Congrats, you found it. He jumped on a turtle's head. No, that's too much. No, don't hurt the turtles. But it's I don't know. I don't ever see the US being that overreaching about video games. And they
I would
can't.
hope
They
not.
I truly don't think they can't.
Yeah, I would
Or
hope they
rather,
wouldn't.
I don't think they can.
Right.
They're not those kinds of we're free market capitalist types, you know. We
Right.
can't bar a market because of some perception of, oops, the children's is having bad eyesight.
Well, how does that, that actually just made me think of another point. How does that affect their economy if you're cutting people off and limiting their microtransactions? I mean, are
Yeah,
you at all worried about
I
those
don't
companies
know.
losing money, or are those
I don't
companies worried
know
about it?
what they could possibly be marketing, because Blizzard, almost every Blizzard game has microtransactions in it. League of Legends doesn't have necessarily microtransactions, but you can buy skins and stuff like that. Fortnite, of course, has microtransactions. I guess what I just described, buying skins, that's a microtransaction. Games have DLC and microtransactions. Games have some sort of sexuality, some sort of violence, some sort of some of them have maybe too much gore, but or gambling or what have you, they all have some kind of aspect of that. And so the only games, I mean, I can think of where there might be like less of that to the nth degree is like Disney movie games or like The Suite Life of Zack and Cody for Game Boy Advance or something like that. Like, you're not gonna get that kind of imagery in those games, because those are obviously marketed toward children. But if you're going after the adult market as well and saying like you can't play Gears of War because chopping a body with a chainsaw is too graphic for our country, our entire country, then what are adults playing? What did
Yeah,
they
same thing as going to a movie.
Yeah.
It's
What is,
just
what are you gonna watch?
yeah. If you're watching R-rated
Rom-coms.
movies, or if you're watching, an action movie where somebody's shooting them up, it's the same thing. It's all
Rom-coms with
somebody's
no sex scenes.
exactly. So
Boring.
I think it's a slippery slope when you start doing that and you start, taking
Absolutely.
people's freedoms away like that.
And I don't see anyone protesting. I don't foresee, I should say, anyone protesting this because right now there are pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong, and much of mainland China sees that as something you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be protesting the government. So if they then in turn start protesting the government because you took away my video games, then they probably won't be viewed this any differently from Hong Kong protesters, or they won't be treated any differently. I mean, there's been some serious violent acts going on in Hong Kong, so I don't see any mainland Chinese people protesting this move or any future moves from the president there in China, which
Don't need
is
to
a
bust
shame.
out the Game Boy colors.
Or
They can't
like
take them all.
just hack your PlayStation 5 to never go on the internet or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know tech.
it's gonna be one of those stories that you're gonna have to pay attention to. I don't think
Yes,
it's gonna be
absolutely.
something that, unless you're in like looking for video game news, I don't think that a lot of news stations are gonna cover that.
Yeah.
It's just kind of it's unfortunate because it is a big story. I mean, so we'll kind of see. It's going to be an interesting story to watch and see where it goes.
Definitely so. All right, and to move on to our final story of the evening, or whenever you're listening to this, I suppose. We spoke a bit about Blizzard. BlizzCon did happen. It is over. It was cool, I guess. But there was some pretty pointed news about Overwatch 2. So everyone was kind of excited about Diablo 4 and all the other announcements that Blizzard had, but there were some leaks that happened, so we already kind of knew that those things were going to happen. But regarding Overwatch 2, it is coming, but when? Who knows? Not even Jeff Kaplan. Despite knowing a ton more than we did perhaps a week or two ago, Kaplan just doesn't know when the game is coming out. There's no date in mind, apparently, despite all the gameplay and reveals we've seen over the past week or so. Yet, despite that, what troubles Jeff Kaplan is perhaps the ideas that gamers will want it to come out too quickly. Let us just make it great, says Kaplan. That's what we care about more than anything. Jeff Kaplan, director of Overwatch, of course, was also quoted as saying that the leaks that came out prior to BlizzCon for Overwatch 2 specifically were incredibly, deeply, extremely demoralizing. So screw you leakers, I guess. You make good news, but you make everyone else's life really, really hard. So, I mean, not a whole lot to say about Overwatch 2. Not a whole lot to say about leaks or having no idea when the game is coming out. But I will say that maybe he has a point that we kind of expect things to come out too quickly and also be good when something is announced. And I'm kind of on his side on this one. I think for what it's worth, Overwatch 2 actually does look kind of cool. I'll give them that. And we should just kind of be patient. Let them work on the game. Let them go into the shadows to see what they can dredge up and see if we like it in whatever amount of time they need.
So I might catch a little bit of shit from your listeners for this, but I'm not too big on the Overwatch franchise. I don't know much
How
about it.
dare you?
I know. I'm too old, I guess. I don't know. I missed the boat on that one. But I do see a parallel with, so these days, and everybody having their own opinion and their own voice and everything, and everybody wants to kind of tell you what their opinion is. And I say this as somebody who started a podcast thinking that people wanted to hear his opinion. But when the Avengers game, the trailer came out, there was a lot of people not happy with the voice actors, with the look of the characters, with the design of the game, and so they started to basically bitch and complain online, and they went back and they tweaked some things in the game, and I think they actually came out and said that I might be wrong on this, but I think they actually came out and said that they tweaked things, that they, had heard the fans. I don't know how much of that is true or not. But for me, I feel like, he is right. You got to kind of be patient and wait and see with the game. I wouldn't have necessarily bitched on the first trailer that I saw of a game that I'm looking forward to. I would probably wait until it comes out, but what if it makes a game better? What if if critiquing that trailer or something gives them, so is it always bitching? Is
Yeah,
it
like we
always
did
like
with
negatives? I don't know.
that's true. We did it with Sonic. The
That
Sonic
was
the
a
Hedgehog
creepy
movie.
ass
That was
Sonic, the
it
original
really
one.
was. And there's some leaks from that as well, and it looks better. So
It looks
maybe
better.
you're
I
right.
feel like the movie's still gonna be awful,
Well,
but
Jim Carrey's in it, so it's like 50% better.
yeah, he makes certain movies better, but
Yeah.
I've got a feel. I don't know. We'll see.
Sinking
I'm not
feeling.
gonna. I'm already. Look, I just was talking about other people bitching at the first trailer, and I'm over here just for full circle.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'll wait and see then, I guess. I won't say anything. I'm excited for
Wait
it.
and see. Yeah, as am I, as am I. All right. Well, I mean, that's a great take. I mean, sometimes having some critiques and opinions about it definitely helps the developers understand what the players want, what the market is kind of asking for. And other times, gamers' opinions suck. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, we're hard to please, and
Yeah, that
we
is
have high
true.
expectations. And when you're, when you're, we talked a little bit about it on the show yesterday. But when you have moments in video games that you think about as, a moment in time that you can, remember vividly, whether it's you playing with your, was it with your brother playing games. And me playing Metal Gear Solid and those elevator doors opening up, and that's like that breaking that first guy's neck, and you just kind of remember it. So I think that, when you have high standards for games and you kind of want to live up to those moments, and video games evoke those feelings and emotions, you do kind of get wrapped up in it, and you can kind of be, a little bit of a dick and be mean to the people that are putting a lot of time and energy, because you forget about how much time people put into these games. And it is art, and it is movies, and it is games all wrapped into one. And a lot of times, even though, I bitch about cutscenes, a lot of games do them really well, where you don't want to skip them, or you don't want to, you just want to play through the whole experience. And so I think that, yeah, I think we gotta always appreciate the people doing the work behind the scenes, unless they just don't try.
You're right. What a way to punctuate that. Unless they don't try.
Yeah,
I
unless
mean.
they're just like, oh, fuck these people. Thank you for your money. I'll take that $60.
Great, great, great point. So we're gonna start wrapping up the show now. As we move along toward the end of the show, I always ask for my guests to give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or should they be on the lookout for? Perry, please take it away.
Ooh, so I know. I mean, I've got Death Stranding pre-ordered. I'm gonna pre-order Jedi Fallen Order, but we talked a little bit about it yesterday. If you haven't played The Last of Us, get caught up on The Last of Us. I'm gonna give you a two-part. So get caught up on The Last of Us. That's what you should be playing now, and then on the lookout for is The Last of Us 2, which should be coming next year. Who knows? It keeps getting pushed back. But if you haven't played The Last of Us, play The Last of Us, and then The Last of Us 2 is coming soon.
Yeah. As someone who hasn't done that, I'm gonna take that recommendation and probably run with it eventually because I agree there.
Yeah.
All right.
Amazing game. I can't imagine the second one's going to be anything less than,
Oh yeah.
11 out of 10.
People have been clamoring for that, so I can only imagine
Yeah.
how cool that's gonna be. Ooh, I'm gonna recommend Control again.
Yeah, that
Talking about Max Payne
sounds good.
makes me realize how much I love Remedy. Remedy, shout out to Remedy for like the 80th time this week. They just make good games, and they make very good cinematic and very good kind of storytelling games. So I shout out to Control, shout out to Remedy.
What else have they done?
Alan Wake, which is a decent game. I felt that it was kind of rushed, but it was creepy. It has ties to Control, actually. So that's really good. They've also done Max Payne, of course. I wonder, let me see actually, what else have they done? Let's Google really quick. Remedy Games. What else have you made for us? Remedy Games Studio. So aside from Max Payne, aside from Alan Wake, aside from Control, Remedy also has under their belt. If Google will load. Quantum Break, which was actually a really good game. Death Rally, which is seems to be kind of a how do you call it? Like a when you mash up the cars, monster trucks? Not really monster trucks, but like a
Oh,
de demolition derby.
Demolition Derby. Yep.
Yes, demolition derby. And a couple of other games. There's like an a Alan Wake sequel. There's a game called Agents of the Storm, which apparently is an exciting 3D action strategy game. I don't know. I'm being an asshole. But that's actually an iOS game, so that's really cool. They branched out, made iOS games. So shout out to Remedy Games. They do Remedy Entertainment. They do
I'm
great
gonna check out
stuff.
Control.
And yeah, you need to check out Control. I have this theory because Control, the way it works, is very based off of like creepypasta, SCP, internet creepy theories and stuff like that, and objects of power and blah 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 blah. I have a theory that Max Payne is also connected to Control because of bullet time. I don't know what item it would be, but I feel like Max Payne keeps an item on him at all times. Maybe it's like a his leather jacket or something like that, that allows him
Oh, I
to
see what you're saying.
enter bullet time whenever he likes and, shoot
Oh, it's
up
those liquid
all the
vials that
people.
Mark Wahlberg gave
Oh, maybe in the movie,
him.
the
Yeah.
horrible movie.
That was pretty bad.
But yes, check out Control. It's been out for a couple months now. It's one of the most atmospheric, very cool games I've ever played ever, and I voted for it for a whole lot of awards, and I hope it wins.
It looks dope. I'm gonna check it out.
Games to look out for. I'm gonna very quickly plug Spellbreak. It is a magic-based kind of Fortnite-y game, battle royale. Everything is magic based. You pick up these gauntlets and they have elements tied to them, and you can use magic to fight against all of your opponents, and you get cool relics that let you like fly through the sky and teleport and all kind of cool stuff. And you can mix and match your gauntlets so you can have like a fire one, but then when you smack it with a poison gauntlet, it creates like a big poison explosion, and it's a very smart design to a battle royale game based around magic. I don't think there's anything like it really. It's in closed beta, I believe. I think it's $50 if you'd like some early access. I got a free key. And I got to play it, and there's some cool videos I put up on my Twitter page, which I will tell you about in a moment. And if you'd just like to see some little clips and see if you are interested, those are on there. Spellbreak by somebody. I don't remember. So finally, to wrap up the show and finish it off, please let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
So I've got the Itty Bitty Podcast. You can find us on, we've got a Facebook group, Facebook page, ittybittypodcast.com. That's the website, and that actually has both of the podcasts on there. So it's got Itty Bitty Podcast and Choice Nugs Only. We're available anywhere you can get podcasts. We've got Instagram, Twitter. We also have that for the Choice Nugs Only as well. And we also have the Hot Box Hotline for Choice Nugs Only, so we do a voicemail, and that's the number for that is 702-907-TOKE. So you can call in, and we smoke out each week, and you can sit in and kind of smoke with us on that show, and call in if you have any suggestions for anything we should talk about or anything like that. So, but aside from that, yeah, just kind of
Wow.
look us up and check us out.
Very cool. I'm into that. All right, well, as always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WK Cooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown page on Facebook and the Facebook group. It's there for you. Please use it. Visit WK Cooldown for more news and other episodes. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. Support your favorite charities, support the show, and support me, Kami Jace,
Yeah,
here at the Weekly Cooldown.
and be on the lookout for the episode we did on Itty Bitty Podcast that you
That's
were on my show.
right.
So we did
Yeah,
your
be a.
show today and my show yesterday. So I'll let you know when that's going to be up, and you can kind of tell your folks when that'll be up. And yeah, we
Tell
definitely, yeah, it
you.
was fun. Thank you for having me on. I definitely would love to be on again if you'd have me.
Absolutely. Well, that is all for the weekly cooldown. I am Kami Jace.
I'm Perry.
Awesome. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.